And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6 and 9. I give praise and glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I honor Pastor Ted, First Lady Sister Marlene, the absent of the assistant pastor, Pastor Marcia, to the elders, to all my brothers in Christ in creation, and even those that are watching, I greet you in Jesus' joy. For it's a privilege any time that you can stand behind the secret desk and acknowledge the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that I love my Lord and Savior, and I love to preach his words and teach his word and help others. At this time, I will be coming from the Gospel according to Luke, familiar chapter that everyone had heard this chapter. I will be coming from the Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 and verse 9 is for your hearing. I will be reading from the King James Version. And it said, and it reads as follows: Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver and she lose one piece, doeth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And the subject I would use for the time that I have is, my subject is lost in the house. Lost in the house. Let us hear a word of prayer. Eternal God, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to stand before your people behind this secret desk. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will use me to bring forth your words. You said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15 to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, but rightly divided the word of truth. So I have studied, and I ask you, Father, to open up my understanding. I ask that more you will be seen and less of me. I pray, Father, that you would use me as a vessel, and as I deliver this message, never to preach a good message, but always preach a message that would do some good. And for this, I give you praise, I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Lost in the house. According to this gospel, Luke is given credit for this gospel. And according to the Nelson Illustrated Bible Dictionary, Luke was a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul, and author of the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle. By profession, he was a medical doctor. Tradition records that he came from Antioch in Syria. Antioch plays a significant role in the early Gentile mission, which Luke describes in Acts. Luke was a Gentile and the only non-Jewish author of a New Testament book. Luke accompanied Paul on part of his second third and his final missionary journey shortly after AD 70. And AD represent Anedonia in the year of our Lord. Luke is written by a Gentile for Gentiles. Luke portrayed Jesus as the Son of Man, lost in the house. I looked up the word lost, and I looked up the word house. According to the Webster New World Dictionary, with Student's Handbook, this is what it says about lost. It says that lost is the past, and the past is the past tense and past participle of lose. That is misled, missing, destroyed, defeated, and wasted. I also looked up the word house. The part of speech of house is a noun. The definition of house is a building for people to live in, to give shelter or lodging to, lost in the house. According to Matthew's chapter 10, verse 6, the scripture says that, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the Gospel of Luke 19 and 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek to save that which was lost. Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 6 says, my people has been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountains to hills. They have forgotten their resting place, lost in the house. Hear that Jesus, he speaks three parables in this chapter 15. He speaks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the two lost sons. Jesus spoke parables because parables are earthly saying that has heavenly truth. He never spoke things that people wasn't familiar with. He spoke things that people in their daily life could respond to. He spoke to fishermen about casting their net. He spoke to the physician about sick and being about medicine. He spoke to the farmers about planting seeds. He always spoke to the things that people were familiar with. He never spoke to a physician about planting. He never spoke to a farmer about casting his net. His speech and parables were so clear and plain that it brought a picture, like a metaphor, that people could almost see as he paint a picture, that his parable was so unique and clear that even a child could understand them. Lost in the house. It says that as the Bible goes on about the number 10, about the lady had lost 10 coins, silver, and she swept and cleaned the house till she found it. But according to the Bible, it talks about the number 10. According to Genesis chapter 16, verse 3 says, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram has dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her, to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And Matthew's chapter 25 and verse 1 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Lost in the house. Hear that again, that we have that a lady, which as Jesus is speaking this parable, that she had 10 pieces of silver. And if she lose one piece, doeth she not light a candle? The Bible in the parable, the lady represent the Holy Spirit. The candle represent the word of God. And even as Jesus is talking in this parable, the Luke is known as the lost chapter. Luke chapter 15 is known as the lost chapter in the Bible, because everything in here was lost. But the thing about it, about when she lost the coin, and she acknowledging that the coin was lost, she did everything in her power to find the coin. She maybe took the covers out of her pillows on her sofa. She probably looked in a closet, looked in a jewelry box, looked in the hats, looked in a coat, and everything. She ransacked the house to find this coin, because this coin to her was just as valuable as the 9 that wasn't lost. But as Jesus is saying about the loss, is that when this coin was lost, representing a lost sinner, and once he lost and turned to God, he is found again, and he was no longer lost. And we have all realized that we have been lost one time or another, and we needed help. And it says that as he's talking about the parable of the lost coin, and the Bible said that when she found the coin, she didn't give up. And when you consistent, when you lose something, you do not give up. And life sometimes throw you some curves and crooks, but you never give up. You never give in. You continue to win. You never stop fighting until the fight is over. You never quit when you start doing a thing, because a winner never quit, and a quitter never wins. And when she was consistent in the coin, looking for the coin and looking and searching for it, and turned a little candle and swept the floor and did all the things possible, but said when she found the coin, there was a celebration. There was a joy when she found the coin. So she called her neighbors and she asked them to rejoice with her, because the coin that was lost is found. And lost and found, as Jesus is telling the parable, that once a person had lost and he's found, then that should be a celebration. When a person turned from their wicked ways and turned to God, that should be always a rejoicing time. When someone comes to Jesus, that the world and Satan had beat them up, and when they come, we are supposed to rejoice. We are supposed to love them. We are supposed to not to say things that can bring sorrow back to them and allow them to go out again, but it's supposed to be a celebration. In loss in the house, and Jesus is telling this parable because of the scribes and the Pharisees. They had a problem with Jesus in chapter 14. Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's home, and he didn't invite Jesus because he loved Jesus and all that. It was a setup. And when he invited Jesus, and Jesus was seeing what was going on, and there was a man there that had the dropsy, and it was the seventh day, and they wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. So Jesus began Jesus said looking at what Jesus was going to do, and Jesus asked the question. He said that if you had an ox or you had an animal that fell in a pit on the seventh day, would you go and rescue him, or would you wait till the next day to rescue him? So they shut up and they couldn't say anything. So Jesus, he'll embarrass you in a nice, loving, and a kind way. So when they was quiet, Jesus healed the man and let him go. And that wasn't it. There was also some commotion going on, and Jesus was in there. And as he was sitting, he seen these Pharisees and the people. They was moving and stuff to see who gonna sit in a high place. And Jesus said that when a person would have a wedding or a wedding of things, that you are not supposed to go and get in the high seat. You're supposed to sit in the low seat or sit till someone escorts you to be the, so they can put you where they want you to be. But when you go and sit yourself, then someone gonna come and embarrass you and tell you you gotta leave because that seat is reserved for someone else. Jesus seen how they was doing in the temple. They was lost in the house. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were lost in the house because they were stuck on tradition. They were struck on the law, and everything has to be done a certain way according to the law. But when Jesus began to break things up, and they accused him because they said that he ate with sinners and publicans and tax collectors, and he hanged around those type of people. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they was high, mighty, and bigots, and they was higher than anyone else. So Jesus said, they accused Jesus of doing that, eating with publicans. He was, to him, it was true. He ate with sinners. He ate with publicans. And there's another parable going on in the same chapter 14. There was a rich man. He had a supper, and he invited Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Oprah and all the high mighty people of Hollywood, and he invited all those those rich people. They drive the BMW, they drive the Porsche, the Maserati, they drive all the fancy cars. They live in Beverly Hills, and they was very sedity high rich people. And Jesus said, as the master, he had this invitation, and he had this feast, and he sent his servant to go and give the invitation out. And those he invited, all his friends, and by the time for the invitation, the guests, the seat, who's coming, they began to have excuses. One said that I have bought some land, and I have to go and see it. Have me excused. The other said that I have bought some oxen and had me excused. I would say, I just got married and I can't come. So he got upset with them. And the parable is that you don't invite the high
class people. You get the low people. You get the people that don't have cars, that ride the bus, that ride a bike. Those are the people you associate with. Those are the people you call the lame, the maimed, and all those people. Those are the ones that you invite. Because the rich people, they got money, they can pay you back. But the poor, they can't. So Jesus was in the parables and telling things that these Pharisees and telling how pious and how they thought they was religious, and the Pharisees and those type of guys, they was phony, and Jesus called them hypocrites. They walk in the temple with the beautiful robes, and they always their scheme was to get the widows, because they wanted the widows to know that you need someone like me. I'm this and that. And they was, and Jesus would call them out. But here that is talking about the lost, the being lost in the house. And as the lady, as she found the coin, it was a rejoicing time. And it goes not only that, but it goes when it talks about the shepherd. As the shepherd is, that one has 99 sheep, 100 sheep, and one get lost. Do he leave the 99 and goes for the one sheep? So in here, the parable represent that this is Jesus. How when Jesus, he take the sheep and put him back on his shoulder, and he carries him. That was showing that the sheep was lost, and how Jesus loved the sinner, how Jesus, he died for the sinners, and how Jesus care for us today, and how he wants us to love him and serve him and be intimate with him. But the sheep that was separated, and now that he's alone with the shepherd, with Jesus, he can be intimate, that he can be close to Jesus, away from the 99. But when he found it, and it was a rejoicing time that the sheep was lost, and now he's found. And it's saying lost and found. We all once time was lost, but we don't have to stay lost. But it's a shame that you know that you lost and you refuse to get help. And it shouldn't be anyone lost in the house of God. In the house of God, we should all be saved. We should all be loving and kind. But it's not always true. It's the truth be told. We don't always do the things God tells us in the house. When we are in the house, we are supposed to come in the house worshiping and praising God. We don't need have to wait for the choir to pump you up and the preacher to preach you up. You're supposed to come in here on fire. Don't you know that the church, this community, that the church should be on fire all the time? The fire department should be around here putting the church out, because it's on fire and smoking, and the Holy Spirit is in the house of God, lost in the house. And it goes to the story about a certain man had two sons, and the younger son, he had a problem. And not only him, the oldest son had a problem too. The younger son, he wanted to get away from his father, and he wanted to go in the big city. So he asked his father to give him his inheritance. He didn't own no, he didn't work, he didn't have no job. He has no right to come and approach his father like that, you know. And he asked, but the father, he was kind, because the father knew what was out there waiting for him. He didn't disagree with the son. He got his packed his bag, he got all his stuff, and he caught an Uber, he caught the airplane, and he was gone to the far country. But then, as he goes to the far country, the father, he's probably prayed for him, and the father represent God. He represents when we get away from him and we go on our own and we want to do our own thing. But then when time come, then we realize that it wasn't so bad at home, Doc. It because we don't want to listen to our parents, and we don't want to listen to what's right. But then when we go out there, and we like the prodigal son, but he didn't just one day brother, to go one day and decide, you know, I'm getting up this morning and I'm going to ask my father for some money and I'm God. He probably talked it over with his friends. He probably already discussed that. When he get out of high school, I'm getting out of here. But I believe it ain't, I don't believe that he would just, it was just his father. But as I studied and read the scripture over and over, and I had, it was some conflict with the younger brother and the older brother that they didn't get along. To me, there was some problem there in the house. There was confusion in the house. And as I was reading, I was saying the older brother, he was immature. But this younger brother, he did something. He wanted to do something. He took his dream. He went out and he went to a far country. They said when he got out there in the far country, Doc, he got with some friends and he had were partying up every day. He was partying and the father gave him the money. He had the money. He didn't put no money aside. He didn't put no money in the bank. He was living for the day only. And it's a shame when you just live for the day. But you got to think about the future. You got to think the day's coming. You got to put away for a rainy day. You can't all spend everything you have, but you got to have sense to realize that when the time comes, when the famine comes, and you don't have nothing to fall back on, you are in trouble. And he was out there. He went out there. He went out there to the far country. He went out there. He was spending money. He was flashing money. The Bible said that he messed with harlots and prostitutes, and he was having a good time. And then all of a sudden, the famine came, and he was in want. But he knew that he didn't have any money now. His father wasn't there. He couldn't ask his father to wire him no money. His father gave him the money. But it says that when he came to himself, when he was out there, he had to take a job working in a pig pen. But when he was in the pig pen, he realized that I messed up. I didn't realize what I had home. But when I went out there in the world and got out there and I realized I had a better home. But when he was in the pig pen, he had a conversion. That's when the Holy Spirit dealt with him in the pig pen. And when he realized that he had a good home, he said, the servant is eating better than I am. I got to eat. Look at the slop and my stomach is getting full. And I'm having a delirious because I'm hungry and nobody gave him anything. He had it, but he gave it away. But then that's when he realized. That's when we realized that when our back against the wall and when we are down, the only thing we can do is look up and ask Jesus to come and help us. But when he was in the pig pen, he came to himself. He rehearsed that, I'm going back. I'm not going to keep living like that. But the Holy Spirit was dealing with him in the pig pen. And the Holy Spirit got to deal with us also in our pig pen experience. But we realized that when he was at, and he realized that I'm going back home. He rehearsed it. He went home. He said he was going his way home. But then it says that every day, Pastor Ted, they say every day, I believe the father, as he went to the mailbox, he waiting that one day he going to hear a letter from his son. He waiting one day that he going to see his son coming up the road, because he know out there the world is going to beat him up. He knows he can't make it out there, but the father probably prayed for him. He prayed and asked God to take care of his son, take care of his children. And that's what we have to do. We have to ask God to take care of our children, because they don't know what they're doing. They lost because the devil is messing with their mind. They think the world is out there. They think it's beautiful out there until they get out there. But when they in the church, or they don't seem like we don't want to be in the church. It's dry. We can't do our own thing. But when you come to God, you don't want to do your own thing. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. And when God's Spirit leads you, you want to do the right thing. You shouldn't want to do the wrong thing. You give up that kind of life. You don't want to be out there drinking and smoking and being with the wrong people. When you are God's people, and you want to be around people that serve God. people that got a vision, people that can help you, people can lift you up, people can strengthen you. You don't want people to tear you down. You want people to lift you up. When you're going through things, you don't want people that having a pity party with you. You want people to tell you the truth. And when your people tell you the truth, you're supposed to listen to it. But we supposed to tell it like it is. If someone doing something wrong, you're supposed to talk to them in love and go to them in love and say, that's not right. That's not, you're going the wrong way. According to the word, show them to them in the scripture. You don't have to beat them up. They always already down. So you're never supposed to look at down at a person until you're ready to pick him up. And when you pick him up, and then he can get himself together, lost in the house. And then it says that either that he came back to father. He quit when he came and saw his son way off. His father ran to him. And the Bible, and it says that this is the only time that God was in a hurry to get a sinner, and take care of him and see that he has the best. But as Jesus telling the parable, and then the son, he came home. And his father, and said he grabbed him and kissed him. That's what God does. No matter what we did. Then the son came back. Doc, he was all muddy, he was all stinking and all dirty, but that didn't care. The father didn't care. He said, my son was lost, and now he found, he dead, and now he alive. So now that's a rejoicing time. Now this it began to come. The father wanted the son, he told him to get the fattest calf and kill him, and they're going to be celebrating and rejoicing. But the oldest son, he was like the Pharisees. He and the scribes. He was upset because his own brother came home, turned his life around, and he was angry with him. And the father, when the time to come, instead of him going in the house, when the son came, he got the servant and asked him what was going on. Why didn't he go and see for himself? But he was so arrogant and so prideful that he didn't even want to greet his own brother. That's a bad thing when you're of two blood brothers and they can't seem to get along. But it didn't stop his father. His father told him to get him a robe and put a ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet, because that's mean authority. He was in authority, even though what he did when he came back, his father loved him. That's what God does for us. He loves us. He keeps forgiving us because he loved us. And I'm glad he loved me when I mess up. He gives me another chance. He could have taken me out, but he said, I'll give you another chance. Lost in the house. Now the brother, the oldest brother, he had a problem. He had a problem because now his brother came home. His father told him to get the fatted calf. Now he whining like a little baby and tell his father, you ain't never did this for me. You never gave me a goat. You never did this. Father said, you were with me all my life. You can go in out there and pass a tent, and he could get a calf and put him on the grill and barbecue him. He didn't have to wait for the father, because the father said, everything is his, that his is his. So why he complaining? But he was envious and hatred because what his father has done to show his brother love. And we should never be envious of anyone. We should always encourage one another. We should always want to know the best interest for someone. When someone gets something, we're supposed to praise God because ours is next. We don't have to be angry at what someone else had. You don't have to be like someone. Be yourself. When you be yourself, you're original. Don't have to be an invitation. Be yourself. And here, now, lost in the house, now the situation, I'll bring it to a close. Now the situation is that the brother, the father, was telling the brother, you know, about the son, about the calf. And the father tried to get him to come in. He wouldn't come in. So his father came out to him and pleaded with him and tried to talk to him. But his father didn't know his own son's heart. He didn't know his own son living in a house, and he was just as lost as the son that went out there to the city. And he was lost in the house. His son was lost. He went out, but he came back, and he repented. And he told his father he was sorry. Give him a job. He'll be a servant. He just give him a job. He'll be a servant. But the father said, no, I'm going to put you right back in authority because you are my son and I love you. And that's how God does for us. And this oldest son, as Jesus said, he's representing the Pharisees and the scribes because he got a hard heart. And we should never have a hard heart. We should have a loving, kind heart when someone comes to Christ. Someone give their life for Christ. They've been beat up, been joked, been drugged and doped up all this time. And they come to the house of God. And people want to stick their nose up at people. And when we change ourselves, it was just because the grace of God, we are who we are. We ain't better than no one else. We had no need to be talking down anyone. Because we all have been there. And some of us probably still there now that need a boost. Every once in a while, we all need encouragement. But when we come together in the house of God, and we praise God, and we love God, and we love one another, and we should be concerned about one another. When I hurt, you're supposed to feel it. And we're supposed to come together in love and unity. It shouldn't be cliques and schismen and this sorority. You're not in college. When you come to God, we are one in Christ. And we all should come together in love and unity. Lost in the house. And the parable is that Jesus, he loves the sinner. He went on the cross for us that we could have life and have it more abundant. When we are lost, we don't have to stay lost. We want to be found. And in the story that Jesus, this parable is that God, he loves the sinner. No matter what you've done, you can't make God hate you no more. He don't love you because that's what he does. He loves us. He died for us so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Lost in the house. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. That was a good word. You're going to make a preacher after all. Praise God. That was a good word. Thank you, brother. Let's continue to worship our Father and Lord Jesus Christ with our tithes and offerings.